Well, I want to talk to you from the topic, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. And before we start, we want to welcome everybody that's with via the live link with us today. Our family all the way in Colombia. Come on, just as welcome. It's so great to have you guys with us. May God bless you in Colombia, there in Hungary. Come on, just welcome everybody that's in Hungary with us. And then family in Edinburgh, Pastor Jeffrey and Maggie. You can't get enough of us. You're missing us. Come on, let's give them a big, big hand. I want to talk to you from the topic, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Matthew chapter 4 verse 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and they followed him. Right through the Gospels in the New Testament, you will find two words standing out when Jesus started his ministry. The two words is the following, follow me, follow me. Many of you are here today because somewhere in your journey, you've walked into Jesus and Jesus said the same words to you, follow me, follow me. These are two very, very important words that God is calling to mankind, follow me, but you have to understand that he's also giving a promise. He's saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says these men heard the words, follow me, and immediately they left everything that they were doing and they followed Jesus. More in Mark chapter 1:7, Mark gives us a different description of it. He says, then Jesus said to him, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men. You have to understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth, I said to you so many times, not just to die on a cross, but to display to us who's the Father in heaven. Jesus said, I did not come to do my will here on earth. I came to do the will of the Father. So whatever you see me doing, that is what my Father has already done. We know that Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus came to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and to put us into the kingdom of light. We were lost, but now we are found. We were sinners, but now we are saints. And Jesus came, he left everything in heaven to die on a cross so that today we can have the opportunity and the choice to receive eternal life. He came to seek and save those who are lost. But Jesus also came to make those who are following him fishers of men. He said here, through Mark said here, that Jesus said, follow me and you will become fishers as men. I will make you become a fisher of men. My question to you today is the following. Since you followed Jesus, have you become a fisher of men yet? Since you heard him speak to you, follow me, have you become a fisher of men yet? Has he made you to be a fisher of men yet? You see, become means the following, to change or to grow to be. To change or to grow to be. Friends, you cannot walk into Jesus and not change. And when Jesus comes into your life and calls you, he calls you to a life of change so that you can grow to be. Jesus changed your life so that you can grow to be. Grow to be what? That's the question. Grow to be what? To become means to come into being. God wants you to know that there's something that you need to come into. You need to come into being something, some specific thing why God has left you here on earth. When you are a true follower of Jesus, he will make you become a fisher of men. When you are a true follower of Jesus, he will change you into a fisher of men. When you are a true follower of Jesus, he will help you grow to be a fisher of men. You have to notice that I'm choosing my words well here. When you are a true follower of Jesus, there's many followers of Jesus, but there are true followers. It's like there's many truths, but there are the truth. So if you are a true follower of Jesus, he will change you to become a fisher of men. He will help you to become a fisher of men. When you are a true follower of Jesus, He will help you to grow into becoming a fisher of men. Become means you have come into being a fisher of men. A lot of us think that when Jesus steps into our lives, we just automatically will become what he said we will become. Oh yes, he's God. If he said it, it settles it. But it doesn't work like that, friends. Jesus said, follow me, choice. And I promise that I will make you become a fisher of men. What are you becoming? What have you become as of yet? Maybe a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, an accountant, a businessman, and that is just to name a few. You see, when Jesus calls you, he will make you become a fisher of men, no matter what your profession. You see, we become all other stuff. Oh, what are you? I love Jesus, but what do you do? I'm a doctor. Oh, wrong terminology. Wrong. Wrong. Jesus has never called you to be a doctor. He has never called you to be a businessman. He has never called you to do that. All of these things. Is it wrong? Not at all. Not at all. He wants you to be. But you have to understand, when Christ comes into your life, he first and foremost calls you to become a fisher of men. He walked to a company of brothers. They were having their own fishing company. They were businessmen. They had their own business. Jesus called them, follow me. They left everything and they became fishers of men. So what are you becoming? We've got this thing upside down and downside up. We become everything and anything except what Christ has called us to be. You see, the call of Jesus Christ, family, is first and foremost to win the lost at any cost. Win the lost souls of men and nothing else. And you might sit here with your religious spirit and say to me, but God said, love God and love people. Well, I want to say to you, if you really love God and really love people as you say you do, then loving your neighbor by saving their soul is not an option. Becoming a soul winner, becoming a fisher of men is the most important thing in your life. You've been saved from darkness into light. There's nothing more important to tell people what Christ has did for you. Has done for you. So Christ has saved me from darkness and placed me into eternal life. But you see, we want to become everything. Oh, you want to become a businessman. Great for you. God wants you to be a businessman, but not at the cost of not being a soul winner. God wants you to be a teacher, but not at the cost of not being a soul winner. God wants you to be a doctor, but not at the cost of not becoming the thing that he has called all his sons to be number one. And that is to be fishers of men. You see, answering Jesus' call means he's making you a soul winner, a fisher of men. When you are truly walking with Jesus in such a way, you will then become a soul-winning doctor. You will become a soul-winning nurse. You will become a soul-winning teacher. You will become a soul-winning accountant. You will become a soul-winning businessman. Have you really answered to the call of Jesus, friends? You see, he has not called you to be a wife. He has not called you to be a husband. He has not called you to be a father. He has not called you to be a mother. But he has called you to be a soul-winning wife, a soul-winning husband, a soul-winning father, a soul-winning mother. When Jesus touched your life, he is first and foremost calling you into heaven's profession. And that is to make you a fisher of men. Jesus came to earth, the first thing he said, I have not come to do anything except what I saw my Father in heaven has already done. And my Father has sent me to save and seek those who are lost. I have come to win souls. I have come to tell people that there's a hope out of eternal hell and into eternal life. Jesus has come to seek those. He said it so clearly. He said, I did not come to save those who think that they are right. I came to save those who know that they are sinners in need of my saving grace. What are you becoming? I know some pastors and people will preach to you that, oh, you need to be a businessman. God doesn't need businessmen to fund his work. God needs his sons to fund his work. Let me help you here. God has not called anybody to be a financial channel in the kingdom of God. God has called every one of his sons to fund the work of their father, not just a few. If you are a businessman, praise God. Build the greatest business, sow the biggest seed, but not at the cost of not being a soul winner. Some of you are hiding about being a mother. You just had a baby. Now you're suddenly a mother. You lost your heart for the lost. You don't know why you backslide. You sit at the top over there. You don't know why. Because you lost your heart. Suddenly your baby has become more important than your destiny. Well, I want to help some of you here today. Then suddenly God blesses you with a business. Now you become the businessman. But then at the cost of not being a soul winner, study the Bible. Show me where God has called any person to become a businessman or a doctor. He has called us to go out and make disciples. And if you are found to be a businessman, praise God. Keep on dreaming to build the greatest business in the whole wide world, but not at the cost of not being a soul winner, a fisher of men, and a disciple maker. Now, if you really answer to the call of Christ, you see, hey, he has not called you to be a wife or a husband or a father or a mother. He has first and foremost called you to be a fisher of men. And if you become a fisher of men, come into being to be a soul winner, then you will be a soul winning father. You will be a soul winning wife. You will be a soul winning brother. You will be a soul winning friend. You will become like your elder brother, which is Jesus. Jesus came. They asked us, showed the Father to us. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You see what I do? That is the character of our Father. Now I'm asking you, can people see that you are having the characteristics of your elder brother? Can they see what is the most important thing in your life? Now that's tight. But it's right. Can they see that lost souls is the most important thing in your life? Awful quiet here this afternoon. You see, that's why a lot of you will hop to other places, because you don't want to hear this. But Christ has left you to demonstrate what heaven is all about. Heaven is not about you becoming part of a bless me club. I bless you, you bless me. I bless that one, we bless each other. God has called you and left you here to be a soul winner, to become, to change in becoming a soul winning machine. Nothing else. Has God called you to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your might and all your strength? Yes. And has he called us to love our neighbors as ourselves? Yes. If that is the case in your life, becoming a soul winner will never be an issue. Never. Because when you spend time with the real Jesus, when you sit at his feet, you cannot but not become a man that dreams of winning the lost at any cost. So how do we become? First and foremost, you need to understand that there are reasons for us not becoming fisher of men. The question is, Pastor, how do I become? The first thing that you need to understand is that there are reasons why you are not becoming a fisher of men yet. You need to know that there's stumbling blocks. You need to know that there's things that is that's hindering you from becoming a fisher of men yet. Being born again, having Jesus in your life will not guarantee you become a fisher of men yet. Becoming a fisher of men is a twofold process. You and Jesus working together to change you into becoming a fisher of men. It's a twofold process. It's like love. Love cannot go without a free will. If love is not connected to a free will, it ain't love. So God is calling you into a love relationship with him through Jesus. That starts by a free will. People will tell you, oh, go to church, your life is over. You're going to become a dummy. They're going to brainwash you. God is just going to control your life. The church is after your money. In the meantime, this journey of church is all about love, and it's all with a free will. Love can't be love without a free will. So God can't, even though he says to you, follow me and I will make you. He gives you a promise. He says, you follow me, not on your terms, but on my terms, and I give you the promise, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. But you see, we don't follow God in that way. We follow Jesus as a friend with benefits. It's like you had relationships with girls and boys before you got saved. They were just friends with benefits. You want sex, you knew and know which friend to contact. A friend with benefits. You want to have a wild party and enjoy yourself, you know exactly which friends to contact, spend time with them, and then you get your benefit. You see, we use Jesus as a friend with benefits. We use him to get what we want. You cannot use Christ as a friend with benefits. You have to allow him to change you into a fisher of men by following him correctly. If you follow him on his terms, he promises that he will make you a fisher of men. Are you with me? Am I talking to the right people? Am I talking to people that want to become, change into becoming, go into what Christ made them to be? Am I talking to the right people? Then you need to know, number one, that there's things hindering you from changing. There's things hindering you from becoming. The first thing that is stopping you from becoming is the following. In Matthew chapter 10, 38, it says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. First and foremost reason why many of us are not becoming soul winners is because we are not prepared to take up or to deny ourselves. No, I'm going to church for me. I want a better job, a better life, a better wife, a better everything. So I want to use Jesus for that. But I don't want to deny myself. I don't want to deny my life. I don't want to deny my holiday. I don't want to deny my personal space. I don't want to deny my time with my family to become. No amens here today. First reason why you will never become a soul winner is you're not prepared to deny yourself. Your whole life is still about you and your benefits and what you can get out of church. Instead of denying yourself and to follow him. Now there's a big reason why you need to become a soul winner. Because he says over here, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. If you're not prepared to deny yourself and follow, pick up your cross, he says you're not worthy of me. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. The number one thing is for you is to deny yourself. The second thing is to pick up your cross. The second thing is to pick up your cross. And Jesus said here in Luke chapter 9, 23, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What should you do to become? Deny yourself. Learn to put yourself on the back burner. Jesus said, if you put me and my kingdom first and my way of doing things first, then all things will be added to you. Yeah. keep the first things first. Jesus, His kingdom, His way of doing, and all things will be added to you. But in that, you need to deny yourself. You want to go on holiday, but your home cell is not strong enough. You don't go on holiday. I just want to break it up for you. You want to become a soul winner? Then you need to surround yourself with people that are soul winners. But that will take you to reach out to them, make time for them, make room for them, take them for dinner, bless them, get around in their atmosphere. You will become what you surround yourself with. The average of 5 people you surround yourself with, is that what you're going to become? You're going to become the average of the 5 people you surround yourself with. And if Christ has called you to be a soul winner, I suggest that you surround yourself with the top 5 soul winners that you find in this church. But you will rather pay to surround yourself around the... You will pay thousands of pounds to surround yourself around the 5 top businessmen in the city. When you're a doctor, now you will find the 5 best doctors and surround yourself because that's your focus. I want to shake your tree here today. I want to shake you today. You have to get it out of your mindset. When Christ calls you, He calls you to become a fisher of men. No matter what other people tell you, listen to me. Read this book. He has never called you to be a businessman. He has never called you to be a doctor. He has never called you to be any of these to the cost of not becoming a fisher of men. When Jesus called the first people, He said to them, "You guys follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." He would have said, "I will make you become businessmen that fund my ministry." In Matthew chapter 10, 38, He says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living, and in need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me." You see what happened with Jesus? He showed this principle. He denied himself in heaven, came to earth, pick up his cross. And therefore, he could become a fisher of men. Jesus said, "If the Son of Man is lifted up, He will draw all men to Him." But number one, how did He get there? He denied Himself in heaven. He came, He picked up His cross. And after He picked up His cross, He drew all men unto Him. Simple. How are you going to become? Denying yourself, picking up your cross daily, and suddenly you're going to start becoming a man that draws people to Christ. Are you still with me? In John chapter 12, 26, it said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Woo! Slap your neighbor, tell him this is for you. One of the main reasons why we don't become soul winners is because we don't serve. We don't serve. You don't serve in church. You are a connoisseur of church. You come in, you take your seat, you soak up the praise and worship, you soak up the friendship, you eat all the cookies, drink the coffee, make some friends. It's all about you. Woo, you. Oh, I am 55. I am 60. I'm 65. I don't care if you are 110. God has called you to servanthood in His church. You find if you are 85 and you go and walk with a walking stick, then you start the ministry of the walking stick ministry. You find something where you can serve. You find something. The reason why many of us are not becoming soul winners is because we don't become servants. We have spirits that is above serving. You have to correct yourself. Jesus said, "I have not come to be served. I came to serve." The greatest soul winner that ever lived
Jesus Christ has said, I am a servant. If you want to become a fisher of men, then you will have to learn to serve. But be careful. In your serving, you will serve so much that you now don't become a fisher of men. Because you hide behind your servanthood. Oh, I serve four services, but you don't win souls. Oh, I serve in the band during the week. I go to band practice 3 times a week. I practice my guitar. I'm serving the Lord, but you're not a soul winner. So even in servanthood, the devil can deceive you not to become. Be the best servant in the house of God, but be a soul-winning servant. Become number one, a fisher of men. Is this helping somebody? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5, it says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. Mouthful, easy. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, he said, listen guys, you guys have become examples to other regions of churches. And the reason why you guys have become examples is the following. You have followed us and the Lord. One of the key things why you are not becoming a soul winner is because you are not prepared to follow godly men. First and foremost, God has called you to His church. In His church, there's men of God that God has called you to. Paul said it many times in the New Testament. You follow me as I follow Christ. You imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the reason why many Christians are not soul winners and they hop to places where soul winning is not the number one thing is because they settle to follow men that doesn't have a heart for the lost. Let me help you here. A church that is not all about the lost ain't the church of Jesus. It is a very bold and broad statement. Jesus is all about the lost. A home cell that doesn't have the focus of Jesus and saving the lost ain't a home cell. A church that doesn't have the focus of Jesus and saving the lost ain't a church. It's a gathering of people that want to bless themselves. Did he really say that? Yes, somebody needs to say that. You have not become a real follower of Jesus yet because you have not followed godly leadership yet. Excuse me, you have not become a soul winner yet because you have not followed godly leadership yet. And I know that some of you won't like this, and now you're going to hop to another place where you're going to be told how blessed you are and how much God loves you and how God is for you and God has every plan for you and nothing go wrong with you and everything is good with you and blah, blah, blah. Go, 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 go. Go. Run. Run your feet off quickly, quickly, quickly. Quickly. Because that's what the flesh wants. The flesh wants comfort. The flesh wants smoothing. The flesh wants to know how wonderful you are and how bright you are and how great you are. But in the meantime, you are full of sin. In the meantime, you're sleeping around. Your thought systems are full of the world, everything. But just come Sunday and wash me with how wonderful I am. In the meantime, the whole world is going to hell. Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. I want to say to you, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are lazy. Everything is more important than becoming what Christ has left us here to become. He said, you will become followers. You are examples because you've chose to follow us and the Lord. The Bible is very clear. It's the sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord. Saying that you are not part of a church, you don't need to be in the church, is the character of Satan. You're just rebellious. I don't need any man. No, you absolutely need man because you don't have Jesus. I don't need a man. Okay. Show it to me in this book. Show it to me in this book. I don't need a man to follow. I follow Christ. For that specific reason, you need a man because you are blind. You are following the wrong Jesus. Number four, you have not become real soul winners because you don't follow godly leadership yet. 2 Thessalonians 3:9 says, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Don't you think it's, maybe in today's church it will be arrogant, Paul writing, Pastor Talbot writing. This is what's happening is because you don't follow us. I can see the headlines. Pastor calling church to follow him instead of Christ. Cult. The man writes by the Holy Spirit, not because we don't have authority, but to make ourselves examples of how you should follow us. You have not become a soul winner yet because you have not followed the examples of the men of God in your life. In John chapter 10, 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sixth reason why people are not becoming soul winners is because they are listening to the wrong voices. Just after this service, I know many of you are going to go onto the internet, and you're going to find some voices. Or maybe next Sunday, you're going to jump to a place that is not totally about souls, and you're going to listen to voices. You know, you need to know one thing. Just stay with me. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. What did they do first thing that they when they sinned? They tried to justify their sin. Now listen. Pastor preached like I preached today, and after the service, the first thing that you want to do is on the internet. It's just, what are you doing? Justifying what? Your sin. The Bible says that what you know you should not do and you do, that is sin. I've got no problem when you go after the service. Whoosh, Bible. Go for that. Go for that. I challenge you. Go for that. And when I'm wrong, I will repent and I will correct it. But stop trying to go on the internet, listen to sermons to justify your sin. After the service, for 2 days, take off at work, spend time in prayer and fasting, study your Bible. And then come and show me. Acts chapter 1:8 in the Amplified Bible says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends at the very bounds of the earth. The seventh reason, which I believe why people don't become soul winners, is the following. They are not following the real Jesus. Pastor Johan and Marius, come here, please. You see, the Bible is clear. There's a true gospel and there's a gospel. There's truth and there's true truth. You have to know that there's Jesus and there's a true Jesus. Now, Satan doesn't mind you get saved, but led by the wrong Jesus. Now, this is the wrong Jesus, by the way. This Jesus takes you. You hop from one church to another church. You're not planted. This Jesus tells you, this, by the way, this is the counterfeit, not the real one. This tells you, you don't need to tithe. You know, you can sleep with your girlfriend and God loves you. You know, this Jesus will tell you, you know, he's just going to smooth your conscience. You know, God is love and God is so wonderful and, you know, shame. God will understand, you know, and God, you know, you don't have to reach out and God wants you to be blessed and you don't have to submit to no man. And you don't have to give your life to God, to Jesus, because there's many rivers that lead to the sea and you can sleep with your friend. You can sleep with your girlfriend. God's going to love you. You can jump up and down in church. You can eat all the cookies. You can be rebellious. God loves you. Smooth your conscience. Lead you. Get you to jump in the fast songs. Get you to cry at the slow songs. Get you to come to church when you want, just when you want. Get you to live your life as you want and use the scripture to justify you. Get you to onto Facebook and show you, you know, this is what, this church is not the right church for you. We have to move, bro, move. You see, this is the real Jesus. The real Jesus tells you, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. The real Jesus tells you there's a job to do. The real Jesus tells you, give your tithes. The real Jesus tells you, be submitted. The real Jesus tells you, be planted. The real Jesus tells you, it's not about you, it's about me. It's not about you, it's about the lost world. The real Jesus tells you, you need to pick up your cross, become a soul winner. You need to knuckle down and work. Keep on working, keep on praying, keep on fasting, keep on doing this stuff. But we... Oh, that's the Antichrist, man. Get behind me, Satan. Real Jesus will tell you, you can't just leave your church. You need to be planted in the place where God has called you. This Jesus will tell you, you can serve the Lord wherever you want. The kingdom is huge. You can go to Africa, let's not go to Africa, let's go. You can go to the Middle East, and there people need what you have. But back at the ranch, you don't go for the gospel, you go for this, moolah, because this chap is all about moolah. Moolah is money. So he gets you, but he plaster the Jesus sticker. Now you go for money, your career, everything, because you're not a soul winner. He tells you, but it's fine. You are led your whole life. But you see, Jesus said, when you have the Holy Spirit coming upon you, the number one thing he will do is to make you a witness. He didn't say a businessman. He didn't say a doctor. He didn't say a pianist. He didn't say a worship leader. He didn't say a pastor. He said, you will become a witness of me to all the world. You will tell people that Christ loves them, that he died for them, and that he has prepared a place for them in eternity. That's what the real Jesus, through his Spirit, will teach you, number one. Give them a hand. Friends, you might have followed a religion or a church, but let me tell you, the real Jesus will first and foremost get you to become a soul winner. It is impossible to walk with the real Jesus and not become a fisher of men. There's no way in this life having a loving relationship with Christ Almighty and not having a heart for the lost. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I want to park right now. Because at every prayer, praise song and every worship song, 90% of you say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Amen. Oh, Lord, use me. Lord, I will do everything for you.
How did he know that? Because I've been there where you are sitting.
Your heart cry. Every time you get in praise and worship, I will go. I will go. Send me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Use me, Lord.
But listen, this guy did exactly the same. Now listen what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father.
Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead.
Friends, you need to see this thing in perspective. This man was going through a crisis. He lost his father, the head of his family. In those days in the Jewish culture, it was a huge thing. Everything came to standstill. Everything. For a week to a month, people were mourning the death of the head of the family. It wasn't a small thing. It was a huge thing. For that Jewish boy, it was almost the end of the world. Jesus stepped into that situation and said to him, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me.
I want to tell you that Jesus will call you on the most unexpected times. In the lowest of lows of your life, Christ will step in and say, follow me. But if you have the principle of first upside down, where it's first what I'm going through and first what I want and not first what the king and the kingdom want, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. These boys missed it. The one was concerned about his security. Jesus spoke to that and said, bro, you follow me. There is no certainty.
John chapter 3 verse 8, Nicodemus came to him, Nicodemus came to him and he said to him, what must I do? Jesus said, you have to be born again. And then later he says, those who are led by the Spirit are like the wind. The man was not prepared not to have security in life. Now he want to have a secure income. I want to have a secure house. Now I understand these things are important, but he missed. He missed. So we want to wait for perfect situations for Christ to call us and to use us. He is sometimes going to step into your mess where you least expect it and say, follow me. Follow me.
Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom, preach the kingdom of God. And then another also said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
You see, all that Satan wants you to do is to get out of the fire and look back. Because he knew that Jesus said, when you get out of the fire and you look back, you're not fit. And Jesus showed this in the Old Testament, saving Lot's wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saved them out of the fire. She looked back. What happened? She became a salt pillar. Not fit. You have to know that Christ doesn't want you to look back. When he calls you, it's him first. I want to stir you here today, and you need to know that your job ain't done until you are a fisher of men, until he has changed you to become a fisher of men, until you move into being a fisher of men.
You have a great business, but you're a soul winner first. You are the best doctor, but you're a soul winner first. You are the greatest teacher, but you are a soul winner first. You look everywhere and anywhere for the opportunity to preach about Jesus. Family excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. You want to stop being uncommitted to the call of Jesus upon your life to be a fisher of men? Stop finding excuses. Stop making and finding excuses. There's a dying world out there that need to know that Jesus loves them, that there's a hope in the future, and that they can be saved. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, the Bible says, "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with God or with him." Friends, Jesus has saved you and left you and I here on earth to be the savers of others, to lead them to Christ, to tell them that Christ has a hope in a future. God has given you first and foremost the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry that you are part of in CRC? Oh, I'm in the lights ministry. Wrong. Oh, I'm in the kids ministry. Wrong. Oh, I'm in the usher ministry. Wrong. Oh, I'm in no ministry. Wrong. What all ministries we do flows out of the foundation of being the ministry of reconciliation. You are a soul-winning usher. You are a soul-winning children's worker. You are a soul-winning book table worker. You are a soul-winning soundman. You are a soul-winning musician. You are a soul-winning worship leader. You are a soul-winning... Not at the cost of not becoming and fulfilling our ministry. There are three crucial things needed to save souls of men. Romans chapter 10, 14 says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who have they not heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Three things needed. One, believing. Two, hearing. Three, preaching. The reason why preaching is at the bottom is because it's the foundation for hearing and believing. He says, how can they believe that Jesus can save them if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear if there's not a preacher? How will the world know if you don't tell them that God can save them? How will your family and colleagues know if you don't preach to them that God can save them? Then God gives you a church where it's all about soul winning, but you can't even get people here. The reason why is because you don't have a heart for people. You have not become a soul winner for yourself. Now, I'm not here to judge you or to make you feel condemned. I want you to the penny to drop, because something is hindering you from becoming. One of those seven things is hindering you from becoming that. Jesus is ready. He is so ready to use you to become and made you to be a soul winner. He promises that, but he needs you to work with him. I want to show you a clip. That if we make up our minds to become what he promised us to be when we walk with him, I want to show you what can be done. Can we have that clip, please?
Ever wondered why Jesus' last command to his committed followers was to make disciples of all nations? Have you ever wondered what it would look like if Christ's most committed followers today actually carried forth that command according to the standard set forth in the New Testament by Christ and the 12? If an evangelist were to reach 1,000 people a day for Christ in a frozen population rate, can you imagine how long it would take to reach the world for Jesus Christ? Just over 15,000 years. and imagine the spiritual maturity of these new converts, most of whom receive no real follow-up or discipleship and end up never reaching their full potential in Christ. However, if a committed follower of Christ, we'll call him Paul, were to disciple a new believer for 1 year, we'll call him Timothy. To the extent that Timothy matures in Christ until he is able to disciple another. For as Luke 6:40 says, the student will become like his teacher. So then, in year 2, Timothy has become a discipler himself and takes on his first student, while Paul takes on another student. By the third year, our Paul is discipling his third student, while our Timothy is discipling his second student, and our newest student is now able to make disciples as well. If the cycle is not broken, a spiritual downline is created which multiplies to the ends of the earth. Even at an accurate and growing population rate, do you know how long it would take in such a scenario to reach the entire world for Jesus Christ? Just under 37 years. And now imagine the spiritual maturity of these believers, all of whom have been equipped to both be and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is why Christ's last command to his followers is not to make converts, but to make disciples of all nations.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. You see how important it is for you and myself to become fishers of men. You see, the Bible says in Romans, the book of Romans, it says, the whole creation eagerly awaits for the manifestations of the sons of God. Friends, God has never called you to become anything else except a fisher of men. And if you become a fisher of men and you are a great doctor, a great teacher, a great pastor, a great businessman, a great worship leader, praise God for that. That's how it should be. But it doesn't help you becoming everything great, but you're not a fisher of men. Because God sent his son to be like him. And Jesus role model that he came to be a fisher of men. That saving the lost was his main concern. Jesus said, I didn't come to save those who think that they are right. I came to save those who know that they are sinners in need of my saving grace. And if you and I are sons of God, I want to tell you today that you have to become, you need to be changed into becoming a fisher of men, a person that lives to win the lost, to win the lost souls of people, to fulfill your ministry, which is the ministry of reconciliation. Satan will do anything to stop the preachers. Will do anything to stop you from preaching. And you need to know, if you don't preach, people can't hear. And if they can't hear, then they can't believe. And I hope by today, you will make a decision in your heart to commit to become a follower that becomes the soul winner, that becomes a disciple, and then commit to do that with every person that's in your home cell and in your life. Amen. It's amazing. 15,000 years if one person saves 1,000 people per day. But 37 years if a committed group of men follow the pattern which Jesus sent forth. One makes one. Two makes two. Two makes four, sorry. Four makes eight. I want to challenge you here today. Let us be a church that focuses on the lost. Never come to church again without somebody that you can introduce to the gospel. Go find somebody, even for these second services. Just go tell somebody, come to my church. Phone a friend, tell them, come. Come, God's going to change your life. There's a hope in the future, and it is Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you have a great plan and a future with all our lives. We hear your voice today as you speak to us to put the first things first, and that is to seek you, your way of doing things, and your kingdom. Thank you that all things will be added to us. Father, I want to pray for those that's here today, they know their lives are not right with you. They don't have the assurance of eternal life. If they're honest with themselves, they know that they don't have a relationship with you. But I know that you are calling them today and they can hear your voice. Maybe they don't know that you love them, that you care about them, that you died for them so that they can have eternal life. My friend, if it's you that I'm talking about, I want to tell you, this is the reason why Jesus came, to give you the opportunity to choose Him. When you choose Jesus, you choose life. When you choose Jesus, you choose eternal life. And that's why we preach this wonderful gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God, so that you can have that opportunity to make right with God, to hear His voice. And as you sit here, I know that you are hearing His voice. And if it's you that I'm talking about, I pray right now for faith in your heart to take hold of your life. Because I want to tell you, in the moment I'm going to pray with you, and your whole life can change if you just respond to Jesus' call right now. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. If it's you that I'm talking about, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you say, that's me, Tabu, I want to be included in this prayer, then I want to ask you, can I please pray with you before we go? I want you all to look at me. You know what? The Bible is very clear. No man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you just heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come back home. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you to meet Him. That's it. You have to have faith in your heart that everything is going to change today, because God changes us from the inside out. Now, if you mean business with Jesus, He means business with you. If you're just going to say sorry and nothing's going to change, then nothing's going to change. But if you really repent, turn your back on your past and follow Him, your whole life will change. And I promise you, God will never leave you nor forsake you, and God will use you for His glory. Amen. I want you to close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and then pray this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. Right now, I receive it. I thank you that you love me, that you care about me. I thank you for saving me. Father, use me for your glory in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.